And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is death and dying. Each of my guests is discussing something related to death or dying. My first guest is the CEO of a nutritional supplements and health products manufacturer. He's written a book enumerating the different ways our houses are trying to kill us. We discussed his findings from his book, The Healthy Home. My next guest is a television personality and professional psychic medium. He's the star of Crossing Over with John Edward and John Edward Cross Country. We'll discuss the growing interest in psychic phenomena and his forthcoming tour. As always, if you want to join in the conversation or if you want to speak to John Edward, you can call us at 639-0008. John Edward was born in Glen Clove, New York. John says that he was convinced at a very young age that he would become a psychic. After writing his first book on the subject in 1998, John Edward became a well-known and controversial figure in the United States through his shows broadcast on Sci-Fi Channel and the WE Channel. John is beginning a tour of the United States, and he joins us by telephone. Hi, John. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. It's great to have a thought leader like yourself, and I want to dive right into it because your topic is fascinating to me, and there's been a surge of interest in psychic phenomenon across the United States. Some might say that it's largely sparked by you and your television shows. What's behind this sudden, recent surge in interest in this area?
Well, I think that culturally, people are evolving as a society, and we're looking at becoming much more self-aware. I was recently interviewed by a couple of journalists who wanted to know why I thought that organized religion seems to be dwindling and new belief or schools of thought were being more approached. And I think it has to do with technology. So I think that technology is facilitating information at such a rapid rate for people, and that we're so used to getting information so quickly that we don't stop to go look something up. We quickly Google it, or we want the instantaneous information. So I think that we're looking for self-empowerment. So now we're looking for self-empowerment in an instantaneous kind of way, that people are looking to quickly connect with themselves, with their family, with their guides, and that's sparking the interest.
Interesting.
Coupled with, let's say, Crossing Over starting in 2000, and I'm clearly not the only person who has ever been on television. There's been numerous people before me, and there'll be numerous people after me. But the trend that Crossing Over started was that people have a voracious appetite for things that are metaphysical.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think you're being unduly modest there. Yes, there have been people before you, and yes, there will be people after you. But for some reason or another, there just have been a spark because of the show that you've had. But let's go back to your early youth. I mean, you say you knew at a very early age that you had the power. Talk to me about how you first discovered that, how you had that sense of self-awareness at such a young age.
Well, I was always ahead of my time. I was always told as a kid that I was more like an adult than I was as a child, or that I had that older kind of mentality. But I think that I was an only child. That's why I always attribute it to that. But I was 15 when I was told by another psychic that I had this ability, and it was that experience that kind of was very, very pivotal for me. You know, when somebody tells you that something's possible that you didn't know was possible, and then you start learning about it in the raising your own awareness level, book learning, and then you start realizing that people are writing about your experiences in ways that you didn't even knew that they were different. So I kind of learned that I wasn't as normal as I thought I was at a very early age. So that was my early beginnings. And then I just jumped in and started applying what I was learning about energy and psychometry and working with cards and using different types of tools like numerology to be able to unlock the key to my own intuition.
All right, well, talk to us about it, because you are different or unusual from the rest of us. Certainly, I'll speak for myself. I don't possess the powers that you have. So describe for my listeners what it's like. What do you feel on the inside about these psychic urges, and how do you know that you're having a psychic episode or psychic moment? You know, how did this all become so concrete for you?
It became concrete by doing it. It became concrete by learning to discern the difference between what I was seeing, hearing, and feeling, and how to differentiate it between what were my thoughts and feelings as opposed to the energy thoughts and feelings of someone who has like crossed over and coming through. And the way that you know that is by honoring what it is that you're feeling. So you have to be very, very centered, keep yourself in balance, meditate, open yourself up, and then receive. So there's three words that I use. You have to give yourself permission to recognize the energy, and then you have to accept the fact that it's happening, and you can only do that after a period of time of doing it. So it's kind of like the more you do it, the more you become aware of things, and the more stronger you do it. I think somebody once said scientifically that the more you learn new material, the more crevices or phalanges in the brain that you're able to see. That's how I feel the same about the energy when it comes to psychic development. It's like a puppy that needs to be trained.
Okay. The psychic puppy that needs to be trained. We're talking to John Edward, everybody, who is the host of Crossing Over with John Edward and John Edward Cross Country, also going out on a tour in the United States coming up this summer, which we'll get to in just a minute. But John Edward, talk to me about this. If I came to you then, how does this all work? If I wanted a reading, if I wanted to know, say, about my dead mother who passed away in 2005, how would I come to you? How would you get in touch with her? How would you know that it was her that you were getting in touch with? I mean, there's so many questions, so many details that I'm curious to know.
Well, the first thing is anytime somebody is looking to go for a reading, you should sit down with a piece of paper and write down your family and friends, who's passed. You should make a list of their name. People are think I'm kidding when I say this, but you should write down their names, nicknames, important dates of your closest family and friends, because people have psychic amnesia quite often when they go for a reading. They forget that mom's name really was Catherine, even though you called her mom. You know, the reality is that she actually had a name. People do that quite often, and they think that it's only about who they want to hear from. So in your case, you might want to hear just from your mom. But what about an ex-wife's father who might have passed, who you may or may not have known? Anybody who's crossed over that you have a link to can actually try to friend you on the original social network, let's put it that way. So you should have an open mind and pay attention to what comes through it, because it should be information, not philosophy. So your first thing is to kind of think about your family before you go. Not that you can control who comes through, but when who comes through, you can recognize it and facilitate more information.
All right. Now, that's interesting. So let's look at it from the other side, from the people who are trying to communicate back. And let's use your family analogy. I like your friending analogy. That was a good one. So let's say it's out there and I've got a dead relative who's passed, and for some reason or other, they want to friend me from the other world. Yet I haven't thought about them in years, maybe never even gave it any great thought. Why would somebody on the other side want to friend me? What in the world could they possibly want to communicate that would require this sort of channeling?
Well, there's a really popular show on TV right now that people are watching on Friday nights, that Who Do You Think You Are show, where people are tracing their roots back.
Yes.
Why would people care about that? Because people care about their connections. They care about their heritage. They want to know about their family and where they came from. So they're looking at it from an ancestry or genealogy standpoint. This is from a spiritual standpoint, a connectivity on the reciprocal end. It's like them doing their own version of the show from that side to us. Let's see who we can connect with, or let's show that we are still connected, or maybe you're connected still to someone who's alive in their family, and you're going to be the conduit to let them know that their family and friends are okay.
All right. Now, again, this is so fascinating, and it's just amazing how you can channel all of this different energy. How can you pick out the one spirit who's trying to communicate amongst the billions of people that have died since the beginning of recorded time? I mean, if I'm looking for my Uncle Harry, you know, and of course Uncle Harry's looking for me, there's got to be a reciprocal friendship thing going on there. But how would you pick that energy out amongst all of the other energies that are in the field?
Well, don't think about everybody who's passed on from the beginning of time, you know, to coming through, and I'm not really, like, dialing direct. There's got to be a link and a connection. So if I've got five people in front of me, then I've got five channels of content that can be coming through. So if there's 500 people, then there's 500 opportunities for connections that come through.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody from recorded history, but, you know, people that you're connected to.
Okay.
So it's not like I look for anybody. It's kind of I just open up and receive. Like, right now, if you were to, anybody listening to this, if they were to be sitting in their home and they're not watching TV, it doesn't mean that there aren't 500 channels of content that are being streamed all around them in some way. So as soon as they turn the television on, then they can actually fine-tune in what it is that actually they want to watch. So that's what the medium does. The medium kind of becomes the tuner to connect the energy and plays it out.
All right, but even so, just using that example, we're talking to John Edward, everybody. We're talking about psychic channeling and everything else. So let's say you're facing an audience of 500 people, and everybody in that audience has, I don't know, eight different relatives that are close to them, and some of those relatives have died. I mean, the numbers get astronomically large very quickly, don't they, John Edward?
Yes, but if the approach that, here's how I try to get people to look prospectively. The approach that you should have when you go for a reading, whether it's a one-on-one session, or if you're going to a small group, or if you're going to a seminar, is that the people who are supposed to get read are going to get read, but the event is not for them. The event is really for the people who are not read, because your family and friends get you to come to the subject matter to participate in the experience so that you can learn from it. Those who get read become subjective to the experience, and they lose their objectivity, and they will immediately call into question who came through, why they came through, who didn't come through, if they did come through, did they say what you wanted to hear? So they kind of like step out after the experience, whereas if you're not read, your family got you to be in the experience, to wear everybody's experience, because you're listening intently, hoping to hear possibly from them. And I think that they make a choice not to come through so that you become more of an understanding of the process, so that it's not about the medium and the reading, but it's about your perspective in everyday life, knowing that they are still connected to you, or that the possibility is there.
All right, great. We're talking to John Edward, everybody. Crossing Over with John Edward is his television show. Now, John Edward, for the people that you have done these readings for, describe, if you can, what it's like to cross over based on what the departed have told you. I mean, is there any truth to this, the popular mythology that you go into the light? You know, what is that experience of dying like based on what others have shared with you?
You know, it's funny. That's not the kind of information that I ever get, and the reason being is I can't validate that. So there's certain things that I don't really talk about during sessions. Like, I believe in the process of reincarnation, but I don't tell people what they were in a past life because I can't validate that. I believe that we all have a team of energy that we work with called spirit guides, but I won't tell you that there's, you know, someone standing behind you who's your guide, because I can't validate that. I can't validate completely what the person's experience is like on the other side. Sometimes they'll give me a feeling of what it was like. A lot of times they'll talk about what they passed from, actually more that than anything, because it's the last physical connection they had here, so they'll describe their passing in that way. But they won't describe for me always what it's like on the other side.
Okay.
So I can't interpret that.
All right. But even so, I mean, some of the passings are kind of gruesome. Do you get into gory details if somebody was killed in an automobile accident or maimed or killed in war?
I have gotten some graphic details, and I will apologize to the person and ask their permission, and usually they'll be very, very forthcoming and say, like, yes, I want to know. But I'm very clear on the fact that this is interpretational. I'm not 100% accurate by any means, and I can misinterpret. But if something comes through strongly, I am pretty forceful. If something doesn't come through strongly, I'll let them know, like, you know what, I'm really not sure what this is, but can you just pay attention to this? So, and that's across the gambit, whether it be their personality or their death.
All right, fair enough. We're talking to John Edward, everybody. Now, you're going out on tour here shortly. Tell us about that. What is all going to be involved in your cross-country tour for this 2011?
Well, it's pretty much crossing over live without the commercials. I'll come out. I will address the crowd and talk about my process a little bit so that I can get them in the mindset of understanding certain words and phrases that I use. Like, when someone's above you, it means that they're older, to the side, around the same age. I'll explain how energy is perceived and comes through, and most importantly, what not to do, which is to fill in the blanks or to say anything, because the more you say, the harder the medium has to work. So just to validate and confirm what's coming through. And then I'll do readings for as many people as I possibly can and intermittently take questions from the audience.
Wow, fascinating. Now, you're coming to the Los Angeles area. Do you know in advance where you're going to be appearing and when?
I do not. I know the tickets are on sale already. I'm not really sure where the event is being held, but all that information is on my site, johnedward.net.
johnedward.net. All right, great. John, let's turn to a different point of view here and talk about some of the skeptics, because there are skeptics who are critical of your ability. And so I'm going to ask you, what is the basis of their skepticism, and why does such skepticism in general surround psychic mediums like yourself?
Can't really answer that. I think it's important to have a healthy sense of skepticism, but I think you're more addressing cynicism, or people who are ardent skeptics in the sense that, you know, they've got something that they're argumentative about it. You know, I equate it like this. I don't like fish. I don't like fish. But just because I don't like fish, I don't say it doesn't exist. So there are people who just cannot open their mind to the possibility that this is something that can be possible. But instead of saying, I don't believe it, it's not my thing, it becomes a personal attack on the medium or on the process. And I think that's more of an indication of what they're lacking in their lives. So I really can't address why they're like that. However, I think that they, or skepticism is necessary because, like in any field, there are people who could be doing this work who should not be doing this. And they kind of provide that opposing thought of, hey, be careful. Be careful about this. It's like when you have, young kids and there's internet access, you want them to be cautious and careful about what they're viewing, and you want them to be aware because there's predatory energy that's out there that's unseen. Same thing with this. But I think that's a healthy approach to life, kind of universal precautions.
Two quick questions before I let you go, John Edward. And the first one is, you mentioned predatory energy, you mentioned evil energy. Is there such thing as evil energy? Is there evil in the world based on what you know?
Well, from my experience, I'm going to say yes, there is. All you have to do is turn on the news and you can see evil. And that has to do with the physical world. It's about energy. It's about programming energy, positive and or negative, and the different varying degrees that I think that we can. There's some not so nice energy in this world, and there's some not so nice energy on the other world, but no more empowered there than here, just unseen.
All right. And then the final question for you before I let you go is, you mentioned only in passing that you believe in reincarnation. Set that up for us. Talk to me about reincarnation. Does that mean that we've all just sort of flowed through the same energy has been flowing through all of recorded history? Talk to me about your thoughts on reincarnation.
Well, my thoughts are limited because I'm not really somebody who's well-versed in it, but I can tell you from personal experiences that I definitely believe in it. One of my earlier psychic experiences that are so profound for me was I went to Puerto Rico, and it was one of my first trips ever that I ever went anywhere. And my father's sister had taken me, and we were walking through Old San Juan, and I literally was paralyzed in the middle of one of the streets, and I couldn't move. And she turned around and she said, "What's the matter?" And I go, "I was here before." And she looked at me, she's like, "What?" I go, "I was here before, but I wasn't John." And she's looking at me like I was insane, and I had no idea what I was saying. And it was a very profound feeling. Like, I was able to describe what was on the block, what was at the end of the block in detail. And I remember that very, very clearly. And I was, I think, maybe in eighth grade, going into ninth grade, going into high school. It was that summer. And it was a little less than two years before I had my pivotal reading that put me on this path. So for me, that was a very real experience. It was that anomaly moment that I couldn't explain. But when I learned about reincarnation and that the possibility that we've had previous lifetimes or incarnations before, I thought, oh, well, there you go. That's what that was. So for me, this is the classroom of life, and that we come back to attempt to work through things the same way you would go to university to get a degree.
Oh, the classroom of life. I love it. We've been talking to John Edward, everybody, noted psychic, and we've been talking about psychic phenomenon. John Edward, if people want to learn more about you, learn more about your forthcoming tour, etc., where would you advise them to go on the internet?
John Edward, no S at the end of Edward, johnedward.net.
johnedward.net. John Edward, thank you so much for being our special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Great, thanks.
Thank you.